You say a new beginning in what? Well, look at the 119th Psalm. I want to show you in the most beautiful verses of this Psalm, this idea of a new beginning, because he uses a word starting in verse 17. Let me read you the 17th verse. It says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live. That expression, that I may live, is a Hebrew word, haya, or if you ever talk to a Hebrew person, they go, l'chaim, you know, life, to life. They toast that way. Unbelieving, secular Jews even know this idea of to life. Well, it's the word of imparting life, or being renewed, or being energized, or in the King James, quickened. In the New King James, revived. In the NIV, it says preserve. You'll notice when I go through all these verses, it often translates in preserve. Even that word preserve, what is preservant doing? It's trying to keep something fresh and alive and new. You know, you preserve your deck, you know, so it doesn't get old and rot. And you preserve fruit so they don't get old and rot. And so it's the idea of, I want to be quickened and preserved in life. So, look back at verse 17. God says, I'll give you a new beginning. I'll quicken. I will refresh. I will restore to life. I will revive you in obedience. Look at this. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. You know what one of the problems the devil gives us is? He has a two-edged sword, doubt and discouragement. He wants us to get so discouraged we despair that God can ever use us. And so we decide, in fact, I grew up in my parents were Christians, but almost none of my relatives. I don't know really any believing relatives that I had growing up. They were all either alcoholics or, you know, that bar scene, or else they were all chain smokers. The only thing I remember about Thanksgiving and Christmas is it was blue, you know, in the house, because everyone's just, I mean, and my job used to be rolling them. I know I can roll cigarettes faster than anybody. I mean, now they ought to get me down at Liggett or Marlboro. You know, I can roll them as fast, because that was my job as a kid, just lick and roll, you know, and put in the stuff. And so they'd smoke them as fast as they could. And you know what I remember at Christmas? They would all make a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to drink as much because it's making me sick. And I'm not going to smoke as much. It's not good for me. And by Valentine's, it was blue again, you know, and they were all carrying on. And you know what? I'm not talking about getting a new beginning like a New Year's resolution. Look at verse 17. He says, Lord, bless me so that I can be revived in keeping your word. He says, I want a new beginning in obedience. I want to keep your word. I want you to give me that new heart and that new desire. And it's possible. It's not as long as I can hold on. It's the power of God that he was invoking here. And that's what this new beginning is all about. Look at verse 25. It doesn't just affect our obedience. It also affects our very fiber of our emotional makeup. Verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. By the way, Ezra gives us some secrets. He was really easily, or not easily, but often discouraged. This guy struggled with life. You're going to see he had all kinds of problems. He couldn't sleep at night. You know, I'm awake in the night watches. He had a lot of people criticizing him. He was in danger of his life. It comes out in all these Psalms. But here's one. He was discouraged. And he says, my soul clings to the dust. And here's the word we're looking at. Revive me. Quicken me. Give me life. Bring back the freshness and the reality according to your word. He says, I want a new beginning in the only lasting help I have in life. And that's you. And I want a new beginning. You know what that means? You know what revive means? It means I slipped away from that. So that's why I tell you so often, the Christian life is nothing more and nothing less than a series of these new beginnings. I come to the Lord. I re-offer myself anew and afresh to Him. I come to Him acknowledging that I have sinned. If we confess our sins, if we agree with God about our sins, He is faithful and just, already to have forgiven us. He doesn't forgive us tit for tat. He's already forgiven us completely. But what he does do is, on the spot, he cleanses us. And that's what he's asking for. He's asking, Lord, I want the benefit. You revive me according to your word. I want to know that you are my source of hope and help. Look at verse 37. I love this one. He uses the same word again, Psalm 119, verse 37. He says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. And here's our word, revive me in your way. By the way, this, now the other 22 stanzas that match the 22 books of the Old Testament. I don't have time to even show you. Ezra has each one of these stanzas parallel one of the books of the Old Testament. Amazing, isn't it? Isn't that a coincidence he did that? But not only that, he uses 10 different descriptions or synonyms for the Bible. Law, testimony, precepts, You know, you know all these statutes and ordinances and commands. There are 10 of them. Why did he use 10 synonyms for the Bible? Because in the Hebrew mind, they call what we call the 10 commands the 10 words. The 10 commandments, you know, the 4 on one side of the stone tablet and the 6 on the other of the 2 stone tablets, those in the Hebrew mind are called the Decalogue, 10 words. And because they have 10 words, he uses in these 176 verses 10 different synonyms for the Bible. And right here is one. Look at verse 37. This is one of them. He says, "Turn away my eyes from beholding worthless things and revive me in your way." By the way, that's the word he uses in verse 1, and that's the synonym that covers all the 10. And he says this Christian life, or this walk with the Lord, is a way. Isn't it interesting? That's what they call it in the book of Acts. Followers of what? The way. And that is followers of the law of God, and the truth of God, the precepts, the statutes of God. But look what he says in verse 37. He says, "I want a new beginning in what's really worth living for." Do you know what happens in our lives? We start looking at everything but what we're supposed to. We start thinking about, oh man, wouldn't it be nice and comfortable and secure, and if I could have all this and do all this, and I want to have all these plans. And we start looking at things that aren't going to last beyond our lifetime. And God says, verse 37, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things." Doesn't mean they're wrong. It means they're not eternal. "And revive me," or quicken me, or give me a new beginning in your way. So Ezra says his life was a constant new beginning, focusing back on what was going to be important forever. I'm so glad he did. We still have his testimony. We have the Old Testament Jesus used. We have so many benefits from his life because he lived what he taught. Look at verse 50 here.